Welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Brian Keller.
I'm Dan Fernandez.
Let's get right into our top stories here. So this is ASP.NET Project Helios?
Yes, so it's a code name for a new project, and we're just starting to have the conversation with customers on this. So this is super early.
So we can't tell you anything about it, sorry.
No,
we just thought we'd share the code name.
Yes. So the point is, and it's really taking a step back on what ASP.NET is targeted for. What are the scenarios where it was sort of very prescriptive to build line of business applications? And that's great for a number of apps. But when you start looking at, hey, there's a lot of things that you take. So like you're bringing in a number of different frameworks. There's a level of overhead.
Sure.
What if we take another look and, for example, use Helios? The idea being, and again, some of the goals are, if you're a hoster, you want to be able to host as many sites, so have high throughput, and if you're a developer, have the minimum requirements that you need to build applications. So you don't necessarily need this huge plumbing on the ASP.NET side.
There's a big difference between hosting my blog and hosting SharePoint, both of which use ASP.NET, right? So
right.
This is kind of trying to dial the dials up and down to meet your needs.
Yeah, yeah. So some people have been talking about it's kind of like starting from like, all right, what is the absolute minimum that you need to actually be able to do kind of basic stuff, and then potentially adding frameworks on top of it. You know, one of the challenges, like system.web is like a really big thing in dependency, so if you wanted to use Helios with MVC today, it's not available. They're looking at ways to potentially refactor, and things like basically existing apps may not work is one of the things they want to call out. But the real point here is getting customer feedback on the approach of, we're taking instead of ASP.NET kitchen sink, it's sort of like what could be kind of an open, clean container, and then start putting things within there.
So what this means for people now is that if you have feedback or input into this process, if you've been wanting this for a while, you should go somewhere on this page and tell us more?
Yeah, yeah. So there's two blog posts. Basically read them, and because we're giving the short and sweet version.
All right. Great. So last week we showed the Bing code search, which is
loved
awesome.
It.
If you haven't checked it out, you definitely should. And Dan showed kind of a demo up here, which uses the web client. And we said, gosh, wouldn't it be nice if this actually worked with Visual Studio?
Yes.
And then like a day or two later, it actually came out.
Yes. Where I just talked to it the other day. It was
hilarious. So it came out and it's available as a Visual Studio add-in. And you should definitely check it out if you haven't already. In fact, some Niners gave us feedback last week on things they would like to see. And the product team said that those things are already on their backlog. So they are listening, and just really, really cool. If you're not yet familiar with this, the idea is that you could be typing, and then you do a triple
slash.
Slash, slash, slash. Sounds like a horror movie. And you can say, how do I, write from the write to the registry? How do I, implement a bubble search, right? And it will go out and fetch a bunch of code examples, which show you exactly how to do that, which is really cool.
Yes. Love this. Love this.
Yes, definitely. So what is AngularJS, Dan?
So AngularJS is yet another JavaScript framework, because there are many of these, and some, like, for example, Knockout and so on. And the idea is to get past the impedance mismatch of when you're in HTML, you want to basically be able to have dynamic views. So the idea is you can have dynamic expressions in HTML. So let's say I have a body tag. I say it's going to be an ng app.
I have to stop you right there, because you just said impedance. I think it's impedance mismatch. Impedance is something else entirely. Somebody can fact check us on this, but
mismatch.
I think I am right. But go ahead.
No, I'm probably pronouncing it incorrectly.
Okay. Keep going.
I'm not saying imp. I love this guy. All right. So the point is, what you want to be able to do is, you have a body tag, you say it's going to be ng-app, which is basically says, hey, Angular is almost listening to this. Mm-hmm. Then you do the double handlebar, which is the curly brace. Mm-hmm. And then within there, you have an expression. So that expression can be, like, the classic example would be things like data binding, where you're actually data binding to some source. So, hello, first name, welcome to last name,
right.
Or, that sort of thing.
And that's client side that gets executed?
Client side, exactly.
Okay.
So again, people should definitely check out AngularJS, and this is sort of like the very, very basic one. I think it's like a 8+2 or something, where you can actually see the expressions being evaluated.
Yeah,
as well.
I'm actually hearing a lot about AngularJS. I haven't played with it myself, but it's certainly one of those things that's gaining a lot of momentum and mindshare right now.
Sure.
This is a quick one, but it's kind of neat.
Yeah, so I actually wanted to quiz you on
these. Oh, boy.
Oh, yes, yes. So the Windows Azure symbol icon set.
Yes.
Now they've come up with some, and you know, a lot of them are, you're probably familiar, maybe like Dropbox or some of the others.
Yep.
So I picked three icons, Brian, and you have to tell us, just by looking at it, your best guess on what you think it is.
This is unscripted. I actually didn't know we were going to do this.
And that's why I didn't want you to look through
it. The first one's obvious. That's Back to the Future Part 2. This one, as you can tell, it indicates that C-sharp is better than J-sharp, but I disagree with that. And this one actually here, that's the Zune icon. That's the Zune logo, I'm pretty sure.
Close.
I'm in the ballpark.
You want to get any guess, or shall I just tell
Back
you?
Back to the Future 3? I don't know.
Back Up.
Okay. So right, I was close. I was in the ballpark.
You said C Codeplex.
Oh, right. I should know that. Sorry, yeah. Martin.
And Triangle Zune. No. Active Directory.
Nice.
Which I didn't know. So,
nice.
You know, just a kind of interesting area, but I wanted to see if somebody didn't have exposure to these, could they actually kind of understand some
of these? Free icon set. So when you're building your Visio diagrams, you want to make them look really nice to explain what's going on.
PDF and PowerPoint versions, too.
Excellent. So this is a great hands-on lab that that Bruno Turcolet pointed out, because he's actually presenting at a lot of the Windows Azure web camps. Mm-hmm. And this is his recommendation for the one lab you should complete if you just want to get familiar with using IaaS virtual machines to host your web application. And so he just calls this out. I believe this is part of the Windows Azure Training Kit, which we've talked about a lot. But mm-hmm. if you have maybe not yet played with the IaaS gallery, and this is a good excuse to get started, maybe you're an MSDN subscriber, you can go activate your free benefits to start spinning up resources in the cloud.
Yeah, let's plug it.
This is a great time to get started.
Cool.
And then this is another post that talks about how do you take WPF applications, so these old line of business applications that you might have.
Not necessarily old.
They could be current line of business applications, and how do you start taking advantage of some of the modern constructs like cloud and client applications that you might want to use to start extending the presence of your application and changing the architecture. So this is a 6-part series by Robert Green and Dimitri Lyalin, where they actually go through and they start by taking a look at an existing WPF application, and they mm-hmm. take it through several different re-architecture
phases.
I do
see they have Windows 8 and Windows Phone as well, right?
Yes, I believe what they do here is they take some of the back-end logic and they make that available by creating a Windows Phone and Windows 8 client, so that you can still have your WPF application on the desktop, but if you wanted to have that kind of touch-friendly experience elsewhere, then you could do that. So this is something that I'm asked about all the time, and historically it's been kind of a content gap for us in evangelism to educate people about how to do this. And so I'm really pleased to see that this content is out there. If I'm not mistaken, he's going to be rerunning this content at TechEd as well. So if you're coming to the TechEd pre-con, you can also go through a similar lap around this content.
Cool. So this is Doug Rathbone talking about Visual Studio extensions.
Love the ninjas?
Yes. So ninja, I think.
There's two ninjas.
I think plural of ninja is ninja.
Okay. It's the grammar edition of this week on Channel 9.
I think so. I may be right. Again, we have our crack team together. So people, for example, know Mads Christensen from his Web Essentials. And the goal here is to show how easy it is to do an actual Visual Studio extension, right? So he goes through and be like, okay, so how do you actually add a menu command? Mm. Here's the menu command. And then it's like, well, really what he wants to do is basically have something that does dynamic transforms when you check in, say, a web config. So really what you want to do is Solution Explorer have a right-click context menu that you could potentially do. So how do you do that? You get the event and then actually do some code in there. So if you're looking, it's actually pretty simple, and I think for folks to follow along on what you can actually do with this. So pretty powerful stuff.
Great. I'm still stuck on the ninja thing, but we'll come back to that. So this is another Robert Green. This is like the Robert Green edition of This Week on Channel 9, too. So this is Robert doing a show on Visual Studio Toolbox, where this is part one of what will be part 4-part series with the Xamarin guys. And so this is James Montemagno, I think I'm getting that right. He's from Xamarin, and he starts with, what are the basics? Like, what is this Mono thing? What is this Xamarin thing? Why should I care in the first place? And they get into, like, how do you build an app, and what are some of the relationships now that exist between Microsoft, and how we're partnering with Xamarin to build great portable class library support so that I can write C# code and run that across multiple devices.
iOS, Android, and Mac.
Yeah, that's right, and Xbox as well. So lots of really great stuff here. This is just part one of of four. So I enjoyed watching the first one, and I think the other ones should be coming up soon. So something to look out for. Another Robert Greene thing we have to talk about here that you might remember a few months ago, Dan, I ran a TFS upgrade weekend. I haven't had time to run that again this time, but Robert's taken over. And the idea is that we've got this release candidate coming out later this month in February of Team Foundation Server 2013 Update 2. And there's a lot of new features that are detailed in here. And we, of course, want to encourage people to upgrade. It is a supported go live release, but we have often seen in the past seen that people are sometimes reluctant to upgrade their servers until we get to RTM. So in order to make this a release that people will be excited to upgrade to, what we're doing is we're staffing off hours, free technical support directly from the product team. And so if you're interested in upgrading, it's actually going to take place on February 28th and March 1st, which is a Saturday. So you can schedule your upgrades for those times, and if you have any problems, of course, you can call into a link call, and we'll help you out with that. But we ran this last year, I think in October, had a lot of people upgrade, only had one or two phone calls, so we kind of felt like the Maytag repairman, where just nobody needed our help, which was great. So so that's a good offer for people.
Sure. So Brian, just changing things a little bit. So Greg Duncan, as folks know, really helps us out on so much parts of the show. Does all the show research and always finds great stuff for us to cover.
We love you,
Greg.
He's amazing.
Yeah. So he's just he's awesome. And his son is actually being deployed, Jacob Duncan. And you can see even the flag on the street there is pretty awesome. Being deployed
to Afghanistan. And so we wanted to...
And by the way, Greg actually shaved his head support of that.
So he's going to keep it shaved until his son gets back, as far as I understand.
Yes.
But in honor of Greg and the great work he does and his son, of course, we wanted to defer our picks of the week. This is the first time we've ever done this. We're deferring them to Greg. And so we're going to close the show by handing it off to Greg to give you his pick of the week.
And my pick of the week is my son, Specialist Jacob Duncan. His unit, the 730th Transportation Company, begins to deploy to Afghanistan this coming Saturday. Remember, freedom's not free. It's paid for by the blood, sweat, and tears of those who volunteer to serve and their families. Son, I'm proud of you. I love you. And thank you.